This show starts right now. Thank you for joining us here. We have a fabulous show today. You deserve a laugh. So let's get right into it. Today's guests have parked their car. They fueled up. They got snacks. They're getting mic'd up. If you know anything about comedy, you know these two awesome comedians and celebrated Hollywood TV writers. A pleasure to have Noah Garfinkel and Joe Mandy here today. Guys, thank you for being here live on the highway. Recording this, as always, live somewhere on Interstate 95 at the gas station. Working here 6 to 6. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing live on 95.com and sharing the podcast on Spotify. Biggest thanks to Noah Garfinkel and Joe Mandy for being here with me at the gas station on the East Coast, Interstate 95 today. What's up, guys? Are your mics working?
Greg and Eugene Merman did my show in Boston. That ruled.
How is Los Angeles? How's it treating you?
It's hot as fuck still. It's October. It's like 90 degrees. It sucks.
Yeah, it's going to be above 80 all week next week. Humidity's bad. Like, there's no purpose in being here if it's going to be.
Yeah, and there's fucking mosquitoes.
Yeah. I got one on my neck. A mosquito got my neck, and it's made me mad.
Actually, me and Noah got drinks with a friend a couple nights ago, and I got multiple mosquito bites on my ass through underwear. I don't even know, like... It was brutal.
Through underwear.
Through underwear. I was like, what? Like, I was, yeah.
You know where my brain is gonna go right now because I'm paranoid. I'm gonna think you got bed bugs at the bar.
Oh, in my underwear?
I mean, they get in there, man.
Okay. It's Noah's Vietnam. Like, he has PTSD.
They ruined my life. I went insane. I was staying with Joe some of the time, and I was going through like hazmat protocol of like taking off my clothes. And
he was
apartment.
Like getting naked in my hallway and then coming into my house with the
I was like putting my clothes in a garbage bag, coming into his house, taking a shower, taking clothes out of another sealed garbage bag.
Yeah.
You got to.
And then Noah brought all his clothes to a dry cleaner in Park Slope and then just never picked them up.
Yeah, I have like
they're still there. It's 20 years ago. It's still there.
I didn't trust it. I was like, I dropped them off to get dry cleaned, and I was like, I'd just rather keep them in storage at this dry cleaner for the next 2 decades.
Yeah, that's what they're for. Dry storage.
Well, interesting that when I was staying with Joe one time, he was like, well, I gotta go to work, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll get out of here, but I didn't really have a place to go, but I didn't want to say anything, so I took my garbage bag of clothes and I went to McCarran Park, and I think at the time I was wearing a tie-dye t-shirt and a bathing suit.
Yes.
And I took a nap in the park sleeping on my garbage bag, and then a friend from college like stumbled upon me and was like, Noah? And I just like was, you know, sleeping in a park on a garbage bag and a tie-dye shirt and bathing suit. It was hard to explain.
It's the worst when someone runs into you like that. Like, I had a day, I got into a big fight with my parents when I was working in Soho. Like, I was at work and had to, like, keep my shit together, even though it was, like, a really upsetting, emotional fight. And then I, like, left work and just walked west in Manhattan just to that like weird part of town that's like under the meatpacking district. It's mostly like warehouses and stuff, and it was like 5 p.m no one around. I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna cry. I need to cry. I'm upset as hell, and I just start crying, and then out of nowhere, Joe. And it was a guy I lived with in Boston for like 6 months. I hadn't seen him in, you know, 10 years. And he's like, are you crying? And I had to be like, no, allergies. I got allergies. And then I was like, no, I'm absolutely crying. I am. Yep, you got me. I am crying. Good to see you, man.
I think this is on him. If you see someone you lived with crying.
Yeah. Just let me go, man. Yeah.
That must have really, and you were being so defiant to cry in the first place.
I know. And I was like, I really felt safe. I was like, there's no one here. It's all like warehouses and strip clubs that have not opened yet. Like I'm good. This is a good place to cry. This feels right.
I haven't cried in public in so long until like there was a part of the pandemic that was pretty rough. And it was when, you know, we were all in the mask era and I was walking outside in a mask and sunglasses. And I was just like, I could fucking cry right now and no one would know. And I
was it because you finished Tiger King?
It was because I hadn't watched Tiger King and I was so fucking mad people wouldn't shut up about it. I was like, I'm not going to watch this depressing psycho.
You're like, I'm going to try. I don't think they're going to make a movie about this guy with real actors. That's never going to happen.
Well, it was like right after they had delayed the release of Top Gun again, they had canceled The Society on Netflix. I was losing my mind.
Greg, when's the last time you cried in public?
Oh, I've done exactly what you're describing, I feel like. But I definitely cried during the mask era because the pandemic was so messed up. I started to get sort of stressed
how
out.
Messed up.
How did you guys handle pandemic? Like, Noah, you talked about your procedure when you had bed bugs. Like, how did your pandemic go?
I wasn't as, like, I would say mental health-wise, I dealt with the pandemic way better than I dealt with bed bugs.
Yeah, it's almost
that
easier.
Said Noah's on the reg, started drinking at 11 a.m. So I will say that.
Yeah, I did forget that I was drinking chocolate milk and vodka. And at one point I saw a doctor because, like, sometimes in the morning I would have, like, tremors. And he immediately was like, how much are you drinking? And I was like, oh, more than ever. And he was like, well, there you go.
More than one is too much. Doctors can be real sticklers about the booze, I find.
Yeah, he's like, you shouldn't be drinking alcohol or chocolate milk. Like,
well, I mean, Clay Thompson did an advertisement for chocolate milk, so it's got to be healthy.
Who's the tight end on the Seattle Seahawks who eats bags of candy before every game? He's like the most jacked guy in the NFL and he just like brags about how much candy he eats.
DK Metcalf, right?
Yeah, DK Metcalf. It doesn't make it okay for us.
No, it's great. It's great. Like, I love athletes who are like, it's very relatable to like still not stop yourself from eating Skittles even like at work, you know? Like seeing guys on the sidelines just like gulping Skittles.
Noah, when you had bed bugs and you slept in McCarran Park, you were probably drinking vodka and chocolate milk too, right?
You know, I feel like it probably would have been better for me to be a little day drunk during the worst of the bed bugs. But I hadn't figured out, I think the pandemic really taught me how to drink during the day, a thing I had never done before.
Yeah, you really embraced it. Also, but it was like, it didn't feel like it was going to stretch as long as it did. Because I was the same way. I was like, I needed to drink because I was going into Vaughn's and Trader Joe's looking for flour like it was a fucking, you know, SEAL Team 6 mission. I was so stressed out just trying to get, like, groceries that, you know, you had to take the edge off. Never go to the grocery store hungry, but always go pretty drunk.
And now Gelson's, they have a bar right in the grocery store. You can
go to
the grocery store to get drunk.
It's shocking how full that bar is all the time. I think we're on to something. I think they're on to something. They knew exactly what we're talking about. People need to be a little drunk.
Should we like take our laptop there and like do work while we get drunk at the Gelson's bar?
Would I like that you said one singular laptop that we like.
Yeah,
we
work on one laptop.
And my right hand.
Our laptop.
Right, yeah.
We split a new laptop. And Cody Gelson.
What are the best neighborhoods in LA to like set up shop at a cafe at?
They're all terrible, dude. No one here has a job. It's crazy. Right. It is crazy how impossible it is to like find a seat at any cafe that has Wi-Fi. Nuts.
There's a coffee shop in my neighborhood called La Mille, and you can go there at like 2:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, and it's like, oh, there's no tables. There's nowhere to sit.
Yeah. And then you like find a cafe that like has seats and it seems pretty chill. And then you sit, you order a $7 coffee, you sit down, and then there's a sign on the seat that's like, no laptops, just vibes or whatever. And you're just like,
no.
Yeah.
There's a coffee place on Hollywood where their Wi-Fi password is 2 drink minimum to remind you that you got to get 2 coffees if you want to sit
there. Oh,
and
my
you have to stand up.
Have you guys done any stand-up shows in Hollywood lately? Hey, how was the rest of your tour, Joe? It was great to see you. What was your favorite city winery? And then I'll ask Noah what his favorite city winery
is. Yeah, well, Noah can go first. What's your favorite city winery, Noah?
Favorite city winery? Yeah. Gotta be Los Angeles County City Winery in Los Angeles.
Okay, there isn't a city winery in Los Angeles.
No, you're right. I guess I don't know a winery.
The New York show was great. The Chicago show was great. Greg and Eugene Merman did my show in Boston. That ruled.
It was great.
Say all the shows were fun, but I don't know if I'm gonna necessarily perform at those venues again. I'll say that because that, you know, and that hurts me to say because I am a wine guy. I love what Kylie and I just went to Montana, and like, you can pretty much only drink beer in Montana. I don't know if that's like a law or something, but I'm just not I don't enjoy beer. I like wine and cider, and I, you know, I'm 40 and I'm allowed to say that. I'm confident in that.
How was your vacation in Montana?
Dude, we got there. Montana's beautiful. We went to Glacier National Park. We got an Airbnb like 10 minutes from the entrance. We really nailed it. We had all these plans to like spend multiple days in Glacier. And the first day we get there, we drive in and it's essentially closed.
No.
so we flew to Montana, 2 planes. We get there. It's closed, baby. Like there's something called the Going to the Sun Road, which is like what you do in Glacier National Park. It's like the whole thing. And that road was under construction. So we were like, okay. So we did everything else on our list. Like we went to a couple things, this place called Pole Bridge. That was really cool. And then we threw axes. And
nice.
But then by like day 3, we were like, we got to get the fuck out of here. There's nothing to do. And like, it's kind of, I don't know, as a Jewish person, there is something unsettling about just like the number of signs everywhere that is like, repent, repent, Jesus, Jesus loves you, Jesus, Jesus is here, nothing but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So it's just like, let's go somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else. And then we flew to Utah. So similar vibes.
Jesus.
Different. It was, because Utah has space Jesus, which is cooler. And then we went to Zion, and then we went to Vegas. We didn't know what to do in Vegas, but Postal Service was playing, and we're like, I don't know. Okay, we'll do that.
Oh, my God. I'm actually starting a weekly in Vegas at the Sphere.
Are you booking it, or is this sort of just like a sign-up list?
I am. Gaffigan might do the first one. He's like 20%.
Todd Barry wants to go on 4th.
Yeah, always go 4th.
Pete Holmes wants to go first.
It would be cool to do a stand-up show in the Sphere and have it so that like the whole Sphere is your fade, like the interior, you know what I'm saying, and the exterior, like as you're performing, like, you know, you're so small in that space that like just around you is.
I think the exterior should be your head and the interior should be the inside of your skull.
Oh, like, yeah, brains.
Yeah, no,
you're a freak.
You and the audience are the brain.
Oh, I see. And, yeah.
But I guess that wouldn't be that visually interesting, just bone color surrounding you.
No, and it would be, there's no light either. It's just darkness.
This is probably why I didn't get the inside Sphere screen job I applied for. And yeah. Bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they let me do at least a monthly stand-up show at the Sphere.
Yeah.
When you're the president of the United States, your like annual colonoscopy should be shown live inside the Sphere. It should be part of being president. We all that, go into you.
Yeah. That reminds me of when Black Mirror came out. Remember that show Black Mirror? Everyone kept recommending it to me. Like the first season, they were like, dude, you're going to love this show. It's twisted. You're going to love
They're like, it's so fun. It's a barrel of laughs.
Yeah. So then I watched the first episode. I don't know if you remember. The first episode of Black Mirror is about the Prime Minister of England is blackmailed into having to fuck a pig on national TV, or his like daughter's going to die or whatever. And it ends like on a cliffhanger of like, he's like unzipping his pants to fuck this pig on TV, and the episode ends and I'm like, this show fucking rules, right? And then, so then the second episode starts and it's like about like a American Idol type show where people are like in a warehouse and they like live in a prison essentially. And it took me like half an hour before I realized, oh, this is like episode, this is like an anthology. Like I was like, Okay, well, like, let's get back to the prime minister. I need to see what happened with this pig story. Like, I was like waiting for that story to continue. It took me like so long to be like, oh, this is like Twilight Zone. I was like so invested in seeing him fuck a pig. And I was like, oh, this is really damning.
Total letdown. They need to have like a recap. The finale, whenever they do the last one, needs to like tie up loose ends.
I love that.
I thought that show kind of got bad.
Right.
Jim, I mean, you should pitch.
For me, there's a severe drop off after episode one.
Yeah.
You should pitch Black Mirror as a continuation of just the pilot. You should be like Black Mirror, but it's all the first.
Yeah. Month. Right. Yeah. Black Mirror, but done correctly.
Yeah. Black Mirror : the correct one.
You're watching the first episode of Black Mirror. You're like, I could watch 100 episodes of this.
Dude, in a way that it is like a Black Mirror episode, that you like see a show on a streaming network that's like the best thing you've ever seen, and then they just like never finish it, dude. Isn't that sick? Is that twisted?
There's a few limited series, like just one or two. Like I think I beg your pardon, but when I watched the impeachment thing about Monica Lewinsky, I was like, I would watch 200 episodes of this show.
Oh, the Ryan Murphy.
Yes, I liked it.
Oh wow, I didn't finish it. It took me forever to figure out that the woman playing Linda Tripp was what's her name, like a full on just actor in the craziest fat suit we've ever had on television.
I don't know if we're like speaking out of turn, but there was a moment a couple years ago where a sizable group of friends was trying to set Noah up with Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, the real one.
No one ever followed through on that.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed in my friends and Monica.
Oh my God. Well, how high did you get your hopes?
I had heard that she had like a type, and then as she described it, it was literally Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that's not really my vibe.
Yeah, no. You can't play saxophone for shit, dude.
Man, maybe I should learn saxophone.
You fucked up. That would have been a great... If you came out of the pandemic being like a smooth jazz player on saxophone, that would be the funniest possible scenario.
Dude, there's time. I played sax as a kid. I could teach you, Noah.
I would love for you to teach me saxophone.
Dude, okay. We'll talk. We got to teach you saxophone, and then we got to actually get you that date with Monica Lewinsky.
Well, yeah.
I know the way. I mean, that's you're more than halfway there if you play sax. I'll tell you that much. And you just dye your hair gray. You're set, dude.
Would you be down to dye your hair gray?
Yeah. I mean, I'm good. It's starting to go a little bit. We're getting there. You give me a little time. We might not need to.
Were you so psyched, like thinking this might happen? I might meet Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
How close did you come?
It was literally, I just got a text that was on a group text with Joe from our friend who was just like, Noah, this is not a bit. Would you go out on a date with Monica Lewinsky? And I was like, yes.
Of C.
Of C.
Of C. Of C.
Of C. Of C.
Who dis? Of C. Who dis? You ever just drop a who dis to like neg someone? You're like, oh
it's the best.
Getting a new phone.
I'm trying to imagine someone whose whole type is Bill Clinton having me explain to them. Like, would you like just the most medium height man with dark hair who is not at all a president?
Look, he's not autistic, but he loves Legos.
You know how Bill Clinton can like hold a full conversation while doing the crossword puzzle? No one can do those things separately.
Yeah, that's just it, dude. You both love crosswords.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, doesn't she love to knit? Maybe would you learn that?
I think I would like to learn to knit at some point. I can get your
here's your chance.
I need to learn to knit. I need to learn the fucking saxophone. Man, I got a lot. Monica is...
Man, if she saw you in a knitted blue suit, hubba, hubba.
Yeah, she's like, did you knit that yourself?
We should call her.
We should. You know, I would love to make it happen after I teach you saxophone.
She honestly, no jokes. She might be like one of the strongest people to ever live. Like the fact that she like persevered and didn't like just end it with the amount of sexist scrutiny and mockery she faced for literally years. Like it's crazy. Like it would be like 2006 and Jay Leno would still be doing fucking Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a level of mockery that was so obscene and uncalled for, but everyone for two decades felt guilt-free about. Like, there was no reckoning for 30 years, basically.
Noah, have you ever used your Doug Forsett photo as like a Tinder photo?
No, I've never been on a dating app. And also, it is a professionally bad picture of me.
It's like purposely bad.
It's the most widely seen image of me that will ever exist. And it is what I'm afraid I look like.
Oh my gosh. What is the original story behind that photo?
We were in the writer's room. Mike Schur had this idea of Doug being a guy who ate mushrooms and like sort of figured out the afterlife. And then he was like, does anyone here have a friend that looks like they did mushrooms in the early 80s? And I was like, I think Noah would do it. And then the next day, Noah did like a 3-hour photo shoot all over Universal Studios. It was so funny.
Was that the longest photo shoot ever? Oh my gosh.
Certainly the longest one I've ever been a part of. And it's so funny to be in a photo shoot where they're like, okay, smile. Okay. Now like squint. Goofier. Look worse.
Yeah. When I worked at Parks and Recreation, there was like an article some women's magazine did. Like, I don't remember which one, like Elle or something. And it was all about like the women in the Parks and Rec writers room. So they like all got glammed up by the makeup department and then similarly did like a long photo shoot all over the lot on like the golf cart and next to the stage doors and stuff. And when it ended, they asked the photographer, like, how does it look? And he just went, it is what it is.
Oh my God.
It was brutal. It's so funny. Funniest possible answer to like four very like, you know, self-conscious eager women to just be like, yeah, no, man, it is what it is.
They're like, that's the last time we work with Herb Ritz.
Yeah.
It is what it is. That's devastating.
How's the gas station business?
Oh, this is excellent. Here we are at the gas station. Noah, incidentally, as you can tell, we do this show on the side of the highway here. I guess, you know, sometimes I like to incorporate it. Sometimes I keep it out. But if you guys want any snacks or if you want any fuel, just let me know.
Oh, do you
have to get some fuel?
Yeah, I need some chocolate milk and vodka.
I have both, dude. I knew you were coming. So I definitely have that.
Multiple times in Montana, small talk with people, they'd be like, you're from California? That's $7 gas out there. Like, that's all anyone wanted to talk about. Very funny.
That's incredible.
Did you tell them not to worry because you have an Audi electric?
I was like, don't worry, I'm a wealthy Jew in Hollywood. I have an electric car. And then they said,
how is Chajin? Are you stressing about Chajin, your EV?
Nah, dude, I have solar panels. I'm charging with the sun, bruh.
Oh.
Up C.
Are a lot of like the chargers for electric vehicles broken? Like, I've read a lot of articles where people claim they just want to ditch their EV on the side of the road. All right, anyway, good talking to you guys.
Yeah, I
think my favorite podcast question I've ever heard is, are a lot of electrical chargers broken?
Why, thank you, Noah, for the compliment. It seems like maybe I'm finally starting to get a little respect around this gas station podcast. No, we have to talk about the electrical pumps. We have to talk about the fuel pumps. Because our listener numbers spike when we do. It's a gas station podcast. Spotify tells me the numbers go up.
I like Greg covering his mouth to laugh on a podcast, a medium that requires audio.
No, my laughter comes through. It comes through. Oh my God, I'm crying right now.
Have you seen Jason Tatum's new leg tattoo?
Oh, no. What is it?
It's no exaggeration, the craziest tattoo I've ever seen. Where it's the word life, okay? LIFE. But it's the same font as the movie Life, starring Eddie Murphy and... Martin Lawrence, I believe, right?
Of
so
course,
it's yeah. The word life, but inside each letter, LIFE, are the main characters of movies, certain performances that have inspired him in his life. Those performances are Denzel Washington in John Q, Will Smith with an allergic reaction in Hitch. The Joker, Heath Ledger's The Joker, and then the boy from The Incredibles.
Oh,
it's
my
insane.
Gosh. They're going all the way. Guaranteed championship.
John Q. None of this sounds as bad as Tyler Hero's chest tattoo, though.
Yeah, what's it, like a butterfly?
It's on one side, like on the top of his chest, on one side it says, no, it's like no work, no check, I think.
No work, no check.
But yeah. Then he also had a wolf, like full chest tattoo with eyes, but his nipples are like above the eyes, so the nipples look like they should be the eyes, but then
you've got to make the nipples the eyes. You just have
to. You got to make Tyler. You gotta make the nipples the eyes.
This is why no one wants him in a trade.
Yeah.
Did you guys do a lot of stand-up in Boston?
Yeah, mostly at the studio, though. And what was that open mic we did at
there was like one
MIT.
At the middle, there was one at like the Middle East, there was one at the what was that place called that was like called the Improv but wasn't an improv place that was like far out in Cambridge?
Yeah, that place. There was a place near MIT that was like a Thai restaurant that had a stage. That's like one of the first open mics I ever did. I made a girl cry, which was huge. Ooh. It was like to have a heckler moment that powerful when you're like, it was like the eighth time I'd ever done stand up was invigorating but frustrating too, because I was like, it's never gonna get better than this. She was heckling people all night. It was her birthday, and she had a shirt that said "sexy" in sequined letters, and I was wearing a t-shirt that I bought at a thrift store that was for like a camp for mentally challenged children. And so halfway through my set, she was heckling me, and I said, "It's cool that we're both wearing ironic t-shirts." And then everyone turned around and saw her sexy t-shirt, and she started crying and she left.
Holy moly. Damn.
What's she up to?
Stand-up's the best, isn't it?
I haven't done it in 6 years.
No, it's been 6 years. Are you going to ever do it again?
You know, if when I moved to LA, I just didn't like doing it as much, and slowly it just like there was never like a "this is my last show." I just like slowly didn't do it anymore.
It is difficult, I will say, to like muster up the energy and enthusiasm if you've like been in a writer's room all day. It's like exhausting to like write jokes for 9 or 10 hours and then like rush to a show and then try to like be funny. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah, like especially when I was like kind of new to being on a writing staff, like full time and all day every day, I would like get in the car at the end of the day and I wouldn't even like want to have my GPS on, because like I couldn't hear like another voice. Like, I was like, I can't hear another human being talk. I don't want to talk, and the idea of talking to a bunch of strangers seemed awful.
And Noah's GPS was set to a high joke quotient, so it was constantly pitching jokes as he was like
Jay Leno.
Yeah,
he was always yes, and I was always having to like, you know, politely laugh to be like a good colleague at my GPS.
Yeah, how hard is that to politely laugh all day? I mean, I guess you're probably not doing it, but
I'm pretty good at it.
It's probably half the job, right? I mean, for those who've never been in a writer's room, are you constantly being like, you know, try reworking that? Or like, how do you be nice?
Well, you know, a great trick that I learned from Mike Schur, actually, is even if someone pitches something bad, you can like nod and be like, "Well, what if we went the other way with it?" And then you pitch literally the opposite thing, and it makes that person feel like they did something. And I'm saying that as someone who was constantly pitching things that Mike went, but what if we did the exact opposite?
Yeah, at some point, do you then stop and be like, "I'm going to pitch him the opposite and see if he likes that"?
Well, I it became a joke. I always pitched ideas that as I was pitching them I was just pitching like opposite day. You know, like just the idea that like, yeah, the so-and-so can only do the opposite of what they normally do. So then I often would like stop myself and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm pitching opposite day again, don't listen to me."
It is going the other way with it is the fun, is like the easiest way to, when you're just like, "I haven't talked in an hour and a half," and then just anything anyone says, you're like, "What if we do that but the opposite, where you don't have to come up with anything, you
right
like, reverse that." Now I've done my job, I'm good, right?
There is a sort of like professional thing where you're like not supposed to take credit for jokes, like after the fact, if someone's like, "Who wrote that joke?" Often because you just like, you literally can't remember because it was so long ago. And I used to do a thing that drove my coworker Aisha crazy, where I would always be like, "Oh, that was me." Like I would always, I would just like take credit for every joke, whether I wrote it or not. And like, it was like one of those things that was like, it was funny because everyone knew I was gonna do it, but it drove her fucking crazy. Just like off, and it was her joke, and I just like, yeah, no, I think that was me. I think I wrote that.
I like that. That's a good room bit.
What are the most fun rooms? Is it when everyone does pranks?
I mean, I am not a fan of pranks.
You're not?
I don't like being pranked. I don't like discussing pranks.
That was our first job.
No, that I guess that was our first job. Wow. Yeah, we wrote pranks for Silent Library on MTV.
Right. Yeah, wasn't that like a sort of like a sabotaging show where they tried to get people, what did they tried to make people freak out?
The premise was that they were in a library, so you had to stay quiet, but then they'd get like electrocuted or like a fart would spray in their face and then they couldn't react or they would lose points. We sat in a room in Times Square looking over the Bubblegum Shrimp Factory and just tried to think of ways to torture like 19-year-old idiots.
That's amazing.
It would all be very complicated. And the like one of the main things is before like the prank or torture happens, like there's a card that says the title of it. And I had pitched one that was called Johnny Cakes, where a guy just wheels himself out in a wheelchair wearing a midriff t-shirt that says Johnny, and he's wearing like a gold thong bikini bottom. And then he wheels in and then stands up from the wheelchair to reveal that he had been sitting on a cake. And then the contestant had to eat that cake. I did not specify in writing out the prank what kind of cake it should be, but they did use chocolate. So they shot this where this guy just stands up and there's just this mush of chocolate cake. And then the contestant had to eat it, but it was so gross that an executive, upon watching the first like edit of the episode, was, we have to lose this prank from the episode, and if we can't edit it out, we have to lose the episode.
Oh, what a square. That's amazing. Wow. Silent Library. That's sick, dude. Johnny we Cakes. Made, that's a. You made, that's great.
On just that pilot alone, we each made $600.
Yep.
But what jobs came next?
I worked on the Alexa Chung show after that.
Oh, yeah. That was a live MTV show, correct?
Yeah, it was supposed to replace Total Request Live. And it did for a little bit.
Where's Alexa Chung now?
She's like got a fashion line. I don't know what she's up to.
Was she like really fun to work for? Like, is she like cool? She seems cool.
She was extremely cool. I liked her a great deal.
Oh, wasn't Sarah Walker friends with her? How's Sarah Walker?
Sarah Walker's doing great. Sarah Walker just had a baby.
Oh, yep. Right. And she must be a great mom, I bet.
I haven't, you know what? I'll ask her if she's a great mom. I don't know. She hasn't said.
If you guys could live anywhere in any city other than LA, where would you live?
Seattle?
Yeah, I love Seattle as well.
I got this is the Supersonics hat.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
It's blacked out. RIP Supersonics. I love the thunder now.
Have you seen have you been to Seattle recently? There's a giant weed dispensary owned by Sean Kemp.
Oh my god. Pretty cool. I saw a video of him in a parking lot.
That's wow.
Yeah.
Joe, you've been challenged. Now you have to say something. You have to upgrade from that about Sean Kemp.
Have you guys seen the video where he shot someone and then he ditches the gun?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like from earlier this year.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Maybe you missed it, but like he shot someone, and then there's a video that somebody nearby, like smoking a cigarette, took, and you can see Sean Kemp throw his gun out the window, and like somebody smoking a butt, like took the video.
And you could tell it was him because he tomahawked it.
Wait, is Sean Kemp in legal trouble now?
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, there's a video of him shooting someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Why is he just like running a weed dispenser? Do we have to be the police?
What was that area of Seattle called where there were no laws?
Oh yeah, it was like the FOMO zone, or it was like no gov.
It was like YOLO. It was the YOLO zone.
Yeah, it was YOLO.
Guys, I'm learning so much that there's a Escape from New York section of Seattle that's an open air free for all prison. Sean Kemp is shooting people.
Yeah, then, he's the
mayor.
What
was that called, Joe? What was that area called? It was like,
it wasn't the DMZ, but it had some stupid ass a name like that. And Noah won't say it because he hates abbreviations.
It was peak pandemic.
Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, shooting someone is like peak pandemic.
The Chaz. It was called the Chaz.
The Chaz?
Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone.
Noah, you don't remember the Chaz in Seattle in 2020?
The only Chaz in my life is Chaz Dean.
Yeah, Chaz Dean, baby.
Who's that?
He's a, I believe an 80-year-old man with, like, long hair who owns a shampoo business in L.A. and has billboards of his own face.
Huge.
Advertising.
And all the billboards say Chaz Dean Studio, and it seems like his name is Chaz Dean Studio.
Wait, what about Noah, real quick? There was a movie you tweeted where they went to like a record company. It was called like Famous Record Company.
Oh yeah, it was randomly on one of my many premium channels. I have all the channels on DirecTV, no big deal. It's called The Thing Called Love. It is a movie from 1993 with River Phoenix. And it's about the music scene in Nashville. And at one point, the main character goes to a movie publishing company, and the sign outside says, "The Famous Music Publishing Companies," is what the sign says.
It's a big old sign.
I don't even think about it.
Big old sign. It's an insane art decoration decision.
Yeah, I mean, they had a meeting where the art person must have been like, "Are you sure? Oh, we're making a big ass sign. Do you want like a normal sounding name?"
They're like, "No, we want the company name to be plural for no reason. We want to just say that it's famous. We need people to understand what this is immediately." The Famous Music Publishing Companies is the name of our company.
I gotta see this movie. Yo, what else are you streaming? I can't believe we've talked this long and I haven't asked you guys what else you're streaming.
Joe, what are you streaming?
Just the first episode of Black Mirror for me. That's all.
It's over and over. My name is Randy Streamin. I keep the ladies creamin. This is a reference to Any Given Sunday.
As well as your streaming habit. Right?
Wow. Like,
remember the Jamie Foxx's character has the song about being beaming and he keeps the lady. He might never say creamin'. I might have added creamin'.
Well, it's cool that that's where your brain went.
I guess I thought that I had already said screamin', but I had said streaming. I should have
said streaming and then went straight to creaming.
Yeah, you can't go straight to creaming. Oh, fuck.
Didn't they teach you anything at Emerson? You can't go straight to creaming.
You gotta go to screaming before creaming.
So yeah, it's like I before E.
Scream before cream, except after stream.
Okay, so you got it right.
Yeah, I guess I nailed it.
You definitely nailed it.
Well, I gotta go. I'm the guest on Real Time with Bill Maher tonight, so I do.
Oh my gosh, are you gonna picket Bill Maher even though the strike's over?
I'm really truly thinking about it. I think that would be so funny.
Let's start doing the pod every day, and I know you guys live across the country, but let's try to do a weekly. Like, let's meet up in Nebraska somewhere and do a weekly together.
I love this idea.
I would love to do a weekly pod with you in Nebraska. I'm in.
Sweet. There you have it. We're doing that. Thanks, guys. They're back on the highway now. But my biggest thanks to Joe Mandy and Noah Garfinkel for stopping by the gas station visiting me at work. Everybody check out at Joe Mandy and at Noah Garfinkel. Also, thank you for sharing our Spotify links. And thank you for sharing our episodes at liveon95.com. We'll see you again soon. And thank you. Seriously. For real. For real. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you.